You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Darren Owen, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and John Budden in the studio. It's Ludlow and Plumpton domestically, two National Hunt meetings to look forward to there. We've also got good racing over in Ireland from Leopardstown, some classic clues on offer there with the 1,000 Guineas trial, a Derby trial and also another Group 3 in the Amethyst Stakes. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
Was it afternoon? Yeah, sorry, it's just drifted into afternoon, isn't it? Just for official purposes.
It depends when the listener's listening, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. For me and you, anyway, it's just gone afternoon.
Yeah. Good time of year, isn't it? We've got plenty of classic clues. We've got the Dante meeting coming up next year. The sunshine's come out.
I know,
suddenly,
You're full of cold.
Yeah, which is bizarre. But suddenly everything's rosy apart from my cold.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be here next week. I'm on my way in hopefully sunnier climes, but looking at the weather forecast where I'm going, I think I'm better off staying at home. So I'll miss all the trials over in York, and I think there's some decent racing next weekend as well, if memory serves me correct. Is it Newbury? Lockinge, is it?
Yes.
So, yeah, picked a good week to go away. Yeah. It's going to pour down where I'm going, and I'll miss all the best trials. After I've worked with the missus.
Yeah. Is the missus that booked it?
Yeah, it falls on her birthday. So, I can't really get out of it, to be honest.
Can't go this week. It's the Dante
and
the Lockinge.
Yeah. I can't go the week after because Liverpool are playing in the European Cup. Yeah. I can't go the week after that because it's, you know, all just right. Make up any odd excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Insert excuse here.
Yeah. Gotta go to the dentist that way.
Well, let's have a look at the Dante then. As soon as you're not going to be here, we'll have a quick chat about the race. We won't hear your thoughts next week, but midterm's going to run in the Dante, 5-4 favourite. And we've seen at Chester and in some of the other trials, nobody's really grabbed it by the scruff of the neck and really stated their claims. Apart from midterm, who's probably one of the best trials so far, and he gets to back that up in the Dante at York. Do you think he will?
I think he will, yeah. It's going to be the pivotal race regarding the Derby and the shake-up in the Derby betting, isn't it? The Dante midterm looks the most obvious winner of the race, looking at the anti-post lists, considering how impressive he was, not only on debut last year, but he justified all the hype by winning at Sandown in more workmanlike fashion than absolutely brilliant. But he's that kind of horse. I'm getting the impression, the vibes off the start team, that he doesn't do a great deal at home and he does save it for the track. And even at Sandown, when he was going through the gears, he looked as though he needed to be woken up out of his slumber more than anything else. I think the engine is there for sure. He's very similar to Workforce, in my estimation, who wouldn't go and win by a million miles, but give him an absolute out-and-out test. Then I think we'll see the best of him. And I think York will bring the best out in midterm. I think he'll win. Foundation, obviously, his foundation rather crumbled, didn't it, at Newmarket to a degree. And he's got to get back on track. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien will send a couple over. He's got Deauville, Black Sea, et al. But he's kind of like just juggling his pack around at the moment. I don't think even he knows what is his best Derby horse. It was US Army Ranger until Chester. Maybe one or two of others have come into the picture following that narrow victory, such as the horse he beat, Port Douglas. Then you've got Idaho tomorrow. He's been back for the Derby as well. He runs in the Derringstown stud. So, in the next week to stroke fortnight, I think the Derby picture will become more clearer.
Yeah. The Derby betting at the moment looks like this. Minding with a run. We haven't even mentioned her. She could end up running for Aidan O'Brien in there. 5-2. Midterm 3-1. 5-1 US Army Ranger. Foundation 14s with Idaho. Massart 14-1 as well. 16s for Harzand and Port Douglas. And the Gurkha and 20s or bigger for the others. Do you think the market's got it about right at the moment?
I'd say so, yeah. I think he's a good 5-4 shot to win the Dante, and I could see him being sort of under 2-1 if he does.
Yeah.
And he will be a worthy market leader, because nothing, like I say, has really stamped its authority on the race as of yet.
No.
We haven't been treated to anything brilliant, haven't we? I think we've got a good bunch of three-odds, but we haven't got any superstars at the moment.
Just what did you make of the US Army Ranger Port Douglas? Obviously quite a lot's been made of Shane Heffernan's ride there and whether it was actually the result that should have happened.
I discussed it on the radio yesterday without getting myself into too hot water. I think a lot of people have discussed it in the media. I think perhaps if Jamie Heffernan would have been under orders to win the race at all costs and he was riding on his merits or riding the horse on its merits, I think he probably would have ridden it differently. I think it was all set up for a US Army Ranger to win. He was their big white hope going into the race, and Shamey very much rode to orders as far as I could see, i.e. make the run in, let Ryan Moore out when he wanted to. He did. But then it was clear to see that horse wasn't going up further away from him. And, you know, if he would have been a bit more vigorous earlier, he might have got back and actually got up.
Yeah.
That's the way I saw it. I think a lot of people would have sort of seen it the same. A bit unfortunate if he did back Port Douglas. But yeah, it was certainly an intriguing race the way it developed. The one thing I can say, it was quite a good speed figure. You know, they covered the last circuit quicker than Canic Chase. You know, they ran 2 furlongs further.
Yeah.
1.5 miles to mile and to a mile and a quarter, and you know, I think they're about 0.5 seconds quicker on the final circuit. So, you know, that those two horses needn't be underestimated. But I think they're both very smart. So you've got a choice. If you think Port Douglas was unlucky, he's not ridden right, then he's probably the value bet at the moment if this connection decide to go down the Derby route with him at 20-1.
Yeah, people are getting embroiled in that debate rather than actually looking at the performance. And US Army Ranger, the US Army Ranger will have learned a lot from that experience.
Mm.
Going around Chester, horses tend to learn a lot. And Port Douglas has run above anything that he's done in the past. So
yeah, well,
so you look at it that way and you think good performances from them both.
That's one of the best trials I've got figures-wise. They both prove that they stay 1.5 miles and a strong run one at that.
Yeah.
You know, there was no hiding place. They pull well clear. Other than midterm, they look the two strongest three-year-olds.
Yeah.
So, what price is US Army Ranger? About 5 to 1, and the other one's 16s.
Yeah.
Big price at Port Douglas.
Yeah, I suppose it's just whether they're going to go with him there.
Well, exactly.
That's the only
yeah.
doubt, but yeah.
You just never know with Ballydoor, do you, what they're going to do.
I don't think they know yet, do they?
They probably don't know.
What about the Oaks as well? Minding Even Money, Ballydoyle 6-1, Somi Dar 6s as well. We're going to see Somi Dar in the Musidora next.
Yeah, I think she's a very good filly. I mean, she won first time up at Windsor as expected. The fact that she was pitching against the Colts indicated that John Gosden wasn't bothered by that. The third horse won. Midara Epsom won yesterday.
Yeah, at Chester.
At Chester, beating the other two Aidan O'Brien horses.
Yeah.
So the form already looks good. And I think the second runs today, didn't it? Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah.
As we speak. So if he wins as well, then Somi Dar, you know, will be a live contender. Obviously, Ballydoor ran a really good trial, but is that going to run in the Oaks? I don't know. If Mowington does, how many other runners do they want in the race? There's plenty of other options for Ballydoyle. You're probably better off just waiting for the day now. I can't see much upside left in any of the prices available.
Do you not think Somi Dar would shorten if she wins again?
She probably would. She's probably the one smidgen of value left. Yeah. I think you get 6-1. She looks a fair each way bet. She's already been around the track as well, which we know counts for a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, we'll leave it there. Let's move on to Sunday's racing. Andy's got 4 races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, on to Sunday then. The 3 o'clock at Leopardstown is where we start. This is the Derrinstown Stud 1,000 Guineas trial. Fillies Group 3 over a mile. It's for the three-year-olds. And we've got 6 of them in the lineup here. It's a race that's been dominated by Aidan O'Brien and Dermot Weld in the past. And they've got runners in the lineup here. But it looks like it could be the Michael O'Callaghan and Willie McCreary runners that might be near the top end of the market, given they ran in the Leopardstown trial over 7 furlongs last time.
Yeah, I'd probably concentrate on those two. Obviously, you've got to respect whatever Aidan O'Brien runs, but Kind of Magic didn't do a great deal on her seasonal reappearance. Emerging has got the blinkers on for the first time in a short career, so the alarm bells are ringing there. So we're left with the two that, as you mentioned, Chase Dam, a very good horse of Adrian McCreary. Keithley's jet setting in a Group 3 here in the early part of April. It's a very, very fast speed figure, and I know the connections of obviously jet setting thought there Philly was good enough to go in the English 1,000 Guineas, so much so that they stumped up £30,000 Unfortunately, that project didn't work out because she finished just outside the money, but she found the ground too fast. But Alice Springs, who was third, advertised that form line to suggest the speed figure was good by finishing only four lengths behind Minding in third. So I don't think you can take the winner as being the proper form because she's a soft ground filly. But Now or Never, who finished second, only beaten three lengths, and Radiantly, who were third, represent that form. On the evidence of what we saw, you'd probably go with Michael O'Callaghan's runner. She could probably do with a little bit of juice in the ground. All her best form's been with a little bit of cut. I don't know if there's any rain forecast for Leopardstown tomorrow. But, yeah, with Fallon on board, I'd probably just stick with her slightly over Radiantly. But they look the two with the best form line coming into the race.
Now or Never just shades it front in the 3 o'clock. The 3:05 at Ludlow is where we're going next. This one is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and five furlongs. We've got a field of nine here. And it's going to be quite an open race. I think there's a few last time out winners in here as well. So what do you make of this race?
Yeah, I'll probably go with Altus de Guy. Martin Keithley's also in fantastic form. They had another winner that exited the other day, and plenty of others have obviously been applying the trade to a good standard. And this horse comes here off the back of a good win at Cheltenham last time out, travelling very, very smoothly, as is her wont, throughout that race. She has got a very high cruising speed. She got the race won on the running with a nice turn of foot. Prior to that, she'd run really well in a fast run race down in Fontwell behind Sunshine Corner in a really good mare's race. She likes a good gallop, likes good ground. The quicker they go, the better. I do think dropping back in triple suitor. Manila Celebration will probably take the field along at a good gallop. So, you know, there'll be no hiding place here. I think she'll be very, very difficult to beat. She's on the same kind of form as she was last time.
I'll test Guy then for Andy. In the 3:05 at Ludlow, back to Leopardstown next for their 3:35. This is the Derrynstown Stud Derby Trial Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a quarter. Obviously, it's for the three-year-olds. Similar story here in terms of previous winners. Dermot Weld, Aidan O'Brien, Jim Bolger, the big trainers, have a big record in this race. They've got runners here, several of them each, in fact. So what do you make of this year's renewal?
Fairly substandard, just quickly looking at it. But I'd have to go with Idaho, who was runner-up in the Valley Sacks behind Dermot Weld, Harzand. The ground was really, really testing on that occasion, and I think it just took its toll on this son of Galileo in the latter stages of the race. He swept to the front, looked as though he was going to win a mile a minute. Unfortunately, he just succumbed to the winner in the latter stages. He'd already had the benefit of a previous run, stroke, win at Cork on his first race course appearance. And I think the form's okay. It's nothing to shout home about, but it looks fairly solid enough. I suppose you could argue that Cook Island, who was fourth in the race, rather let the form down in the Chestervars yesterday, but that would be taking it to the absolute limit. He's going to be racing on better ground here, which, judged by his sire anyway, should suit him better than the heavy. And, you know, other than perhaps Ventura Storm, who comes over here via a win at Newmarket, maybe the very likely race Timizzi from the Dermot Weld stable, it isn't the race that it probably was or has been in years gone by, i.e. we haven't got a genuine Group 1 performer at first glance just looking at them. I'll go with Idaho.
Yeah. Early days, wasn't it? I suppose they could make up into...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is early days. I'm not sort of like decrying them already, but we don't look as though, what we've seen so far, we don't look as though we've got any world beaters.
All right, let's move on to Ludlow for their 4:15 next. This one is a handicap chase over just short of 2 miles. A field of nine here, Andy. And I suppose we could start with Ink Master, who was a winner last time.
Yeah, he was. Set a real strong gallop from the start at Perth. Never looked like getting beat. And stayed on very strongly to beat Tomorrow's Legend in a good time. He's got form round here at Ludlow. The ground should be ideal, but there is a couple of other front runners in the race, and it might just set it up for a closer here. Maybe J.O. Time could run quite well. I'd be interested in him each way. He couldn't quite come to terms with Hollywoodian the other day at Warwick, but that horse is very useful. He's hardly ever put a foot wrong at Ludlow. He stays strongly, and as I said, I think he'll get the race run to suit. So if you're looking for a bit of each way value, J.O. Time.
Each way value there for Andy. Quick summary then, Andy, before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, I'll go with Now or Never in the Fillies Trial. It's over at Ludlow. Altus de Guy catches my eye in the 3:05. I'll go with Idaho in the big race, the Derrynstown Stud. And my final selection of the four comes in the shape of J.O. Time each way in the 4:15 at Ludlow.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck. We'll hear from you on Sunday morning for Leopardstown as well. And I won't see you before, so have a good holiday.
I will do, and I'll be back week on Monday or Tuesday.
Good man. The thoughts of Andy Holding there then on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Darren Owen, Alistair Whitehouse, Jones and John Budden in the studio. It's Ludlow and Plumpton domestically. Good card over in Leopardstown as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.